Hello and welcome to the Next Man Up podcast. I'm Brandon. As always, I'll be joined by my two co-hosts, Riley
Next
and
man
Bailey.
Up.
Say what's up,
Next
guys.
Man up.
Hey, howdy, y'all.
And so today we got a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. Considered a dead season, you know, off season for NFL and NBA, but still a lot to talk about and a lot of big things, especially in the NBA aspect, which is I think what we're going to start off with. So, gents.
Exactly. You know, NBA is the most fun sport in the world. That's my hot take.
Okay. In the world.
In the world.
The world's most popular sport would be
soccer
or football. Football.
Let's say football for later.
All right. Well, I guess let's get into the biggest news I would imagine of this entire offseason. LeBron's at the Lakers. How do we feel about that?
LeBron is a Laker. LeBron's in the West, guys.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And
I'm pretty excited to see how it works out.
The sad thing is, I don't think it matters.
Determines, I guess, what you mean by it. Like, I mean, depends, I guess. And that's relative. I mean, if it matters in terms of making finals, it does. It matters.
Well, I mean...
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Is he going to be competing for a championship in the West?
No.
This year, no.
Yeah, no. Not this year. Depends on who they get. Like, if they get Kawhi Leonard, yes, I give that to them. But it looks like Kawhi's going to the Raptors or something like that, or he's staying on
Clippers.
The Spurs for a year. The Clippers.
He's
going to
teams.
The Clippers.
76ers, Raptors are kind of some new incomers.
Yeah, they're new incomers. But if the Lakers don't get Kawhi, they aren't competing this year. I think the most they're getting is a 4 seed.
I really don't.
I think that's fair.
You know, to be honest with you guys, I really don't like this Lakers team as much as I like the Cavs team. I think Kevin Love, as much hate as he got about maybe being too soft or not showing up big enough, he's an all-star and he's a good player, whether you want to admit it.
An all-star in the East.
Far from his Timberwolf days, but he's definitely a good player at basketball. And I'm pretty sure the supporting cast in Cleveland was way better than what he has in LA right now. Because as much as I love Rondo... and Stevenson, I don't know if that's enough. So
I agree.
Like, unless Kuzma or Brandon Ingram can take the step up,
that's the thing.
I don't think that they have a fighting chance against any of the top teams in the West.
Because when you think about it, when you're a Lakers that's winning 35, 33 games, whatever they won, you're not going to be as respected as if you have LeBron on your team. You're going to be taken more seriously now. So are those points going to be as easy as they were before?
Yeah, teams are going to be playing a little bit harder. You aren't going to be playing against bench players because teams decided to rest their stars against you.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan personally of Kevin Love as you guys are.
But still,
I think
Kevin Love's a lot better than Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, but he had a lot of injury issues, and then in the playoffs he was a non-existent outside of maybe that game
he
7 against Indiana.
Good finals. If you don't think he had a good finals, you are crazy.
Yeah, I think he had an all right finals. I don't think he had a great finals.
I mean,
let me ask you this. Would you rather have Brandon Ingram or Kevin Love?
Well, straight up,
just
I'd rather
to
have
win
Kevin Love.
That year. To win
straight
that
up,
year.
I'd rather have Kevin Love. I agree. But I'm not just getting Kevin Love. I'm getting Brandon Ingram. I'm getting Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, so I'm getting more than just. And they're all way, way, way cheaper.
Until they. Do good with LeBron and get paid like everyone from that finals team. Like
well,
Gary
yeah,
Nova,
but they'll have their bird rights and they'll be restricted free agents. But it's still a few years down the line. They'll still be able to add pieces and before those contracts come up.
I just don't like the way this Lakers team is built, to be honest with you. I think LeBron needs shooters, and I don't think he has any shooters.
They have two shooters on that whole roster.
Lonzo
like,
can't
they
shoot.
Got Brandon Ingram. They got Brandon Ingram and KCP.
I'm talking about in their
starting lineup right now, like because you know the starting lineup we can assume is going to be Lonzo or Rondo. It could be either KCP, probably. LeBron, Brandon Ingram, and JaVale McGee.
I don't classify B.I.'s as a good shooter. He had like 39%, but he only shot like what I think it was like one or two threes a game. So it wasn't like
something
he was shooting
like
five and hitting like 40%. He was shooting a very low percentage. Not low percentage, low attempts. So the percentage is going to look a little higher.
That is true.
I don't think I don't think they're going to win this year anything, but I think what they're doing, I like the moves that they've made. The guys they brought in, except JaVale McGee, like Lance Stevenson and Rondo, they're guys who I think are, very important players for that young locker room. You know, you got Rondo and mini Rondo on that team, and Lance Stevenson's grit, dude. Like, he's gonna go out there and he's gonna play defense. So the young guys are gonna see that defense and be like, I can do that. So they're going to go and put that same effort in.
He's going to get 12, 14 minutes a game, but he's going to give 100%. That's one thing you kind of know what you're getting with Lance. Kind of with Rondo, too, but probably a higher total minutes than Lance.
They're going to force the young guys to compete for minutes, which I think is something that's – I think that's ingenious by Magic Johnson and Luke Walton.
No, doing that. Don't ever say that. We both know who's making the moves with the Lakers right now, and it's not – either of the two names you just said.
It's LeBron. LeBron signing his friend.
The GM.
Next they're going to bring in Melo.
If they bring in Melo, then maybe that four seed has to go down a little.
But overall, do we like the LeBron move to LA for his legacy, for the NBA?
Legacy, NBA, yes. Legacy, no.
Personally. It makes the NBA a little bit more fun, I will say that, because something killed the fun of the league. Brandon.
And I think that's what we're going to talk about next, actually, is the Warriors. And how about DeMarcus Cousins taking $5 million on the mid-level exception to sign with the Golden State Warriors?
Make four, be five.
Mm-hmm. That would, I think, the day I would say the words, I need five All-Stars to beat a team.
I need five All-Stars to beat Bron.
Even though
they beat him with four.
Swept them last year with four.
Yeah, they did.
They also beat him in 2015. You know, his
friend Kevin Love on the team.
Yeah, but yeah, Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love is a superstar. Okay, yeah, don't judge him.
You're right. All right,
but I like Boogie on the Warrior. I think it makes sense. I don't think it's what a lot of people think it is. I think it's him. He signed there cheap. Because I think he was pissed off that teams are disrespecting him. So he says, you want to offer me not what I deserve. You don't want to offer me what I deserve. So I'm going to take the lowest I can possible, go to a team, win my championship, show people I deserve that max contract, and then next summer he's going to get his bag.
Yeah, no, he called this move his chess move, and I honestly think this is the smartest thing anyone's done in a while for agency. He's going to a team where there's no rush for him to get healthy. He doesn't need to be ready by training camp like he wants to. He doesn't even need to be ready before the regular season. He literally just
he's going
to
be back
playoffs.
By January.
If he's there
he's
for the playoffs,
be back by January
if he proves
limited time,
if he proves that he can score, he can still, you know, be athletic and still, because that's all what the Warriors is about, is athleticism. If he can do that, not only is he going to get a ring this year, because I think we all can agree the Warriors are winning the championship this year.
I think there's a chance some other teams might be able to not knock him off. I don't think it's 100%. I think I'd give other teams a go. 5 or 10% chance, maybe.
Okay. Well, either way, he's gonna win. He's gonna get his ring. He hasn't even been to playoffs yet. He's gonna get his ring, and then he's gonna get paid. He's going to get paid so much money.
It makes sense. I hate it. I hate it so much, but it just makes sense for him. And I don't think if you are hating Boogie for this, you're in the wrong here.
I hate him a little bit for this, and I'll explain. And I was talking to my dad about this, actually, because he kind of likes basketball, and he was talking to me about it when it initially happened. The thing I don't like is that, or at least this is reported, like, again, I could be wrong, but it was reported that when no team, including the Warriors, didn't give him a contract at all, he then only requested a contract from the Warriors. Like, if he had requested contracts from other good teams, contenders, where he could prove himself, kind of like you guys are talking about, and the Warriors were the only one that offered him a contract, then okay. I get it. Or if, you know, other teams offered him a contract, but it's around the same amount of money, so yeah, you might as well go to the Warriors, get a ring. I get it then, but to only ask for the contract from the Warriors, I don't know
if you saw the report, but I'm pretty sure there was a report that said that the Lakers just didn't want it for even
the same amount of money. I saw that the Lakers were prepared to give him a similar contract that the Warriors gave, but I think even if he did get that contract, I think he still would
choose the Warriors. No matter what, he's getting a ring, man. He's going to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but I get it. But, you know, I'm saying you could have asked that contract from Houston, Boston, Spurs,
but Bailey,
I'm just saying you could have asked
Put yourself in his shoes. Is there literally any other team that you don't want to play for besides the team with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green? So you're telling me you would not want to play with those four all-stars?
No, hear me out. Because you guys are all saying he's going to get his bag, right? Well, if he's the fourth scoring option on that team, because they're not going to risk Klay Thompson not being happy because he's coming up for free agency. So he's likely still going to be their third scoring option. If he's their fourth scoring option, how good is he really going to be? I mean, statistically, he can look good, but if he's only averaging 14-8, no team's going to pay him a max contract. He got offered two years, $40 million from the Pelicans, but he declined it.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what he's coming into the Warriors not to be a 20-point scorer. Everyone in the league knows that. But the cool thing about Boogie is that he's one of the best passing big men in the NBA. He is ready for the modern NBA. He's not a traditional center by any means. He has a three-pointer.
He hits the three.
He's going to come in, hit three walls, get assists, be able to run a pick and roll with Steph, run a pick and roll with KD. He's going to be able to do that, and that's going to be his value. His value isn't going to be stats.
You know, and I think one thing to note with this is you mentioned that he's going to be the fourth option. I don't think there really are options on the Warriors. I feel like everything just comes naturally in the flow. When everyone on that starting lineup can hit a three with consistency and everyone is athletic as all get out, they're faster than everyone. Everybody can play at any spot on the court except for like Steph in the post, but pretty much anyone else is strong enough to play anywhere. They're all moving around. Like, it is probably the second best coach team in basketball.
I agree that maybe, but I think there is a first, second, like, they are going to prefer, like, hey, we're going to run the offense through Steph, and KD is going to be our first option. Because I think every play has a first option, but I think they have second options built into the play, third options. I don't think they're specifically running ISOs or not even ISOs, but just play specifically for one player. But I do think they have, like, they do have an order I think they would like to go.
Coming from the...
I just feel like you don't get Boogie Cousins and choose not to let him score at will. He's the most dominant big man we've seen since Dwight Howard, I'd say, offensively. You know, defensively, he has his shortcomings in terms of just pure effort. But when you got somebody who's as versatile as he is in both the post and on the perimeter, you use that within your system. You make plays for that.
So I get it. But
though it'll be less than Steph or KD.
It should be less than play, though.
He's gonna put up his numbers, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think what teams are going to be looking for most when next free agency rolls around is he healthy? Was he able to score on the Warriors with four other All-Stars?
Is he healthy, and can he be part of a championship culture in that locker room? And you talk about effort on defense. Whoa. The Warriors got Nick Young to play defense, Riley. Nick Young. Swaggy P. They got Nick Young to play defense. So, I mean, I'm really not worried about it. I think
they got JaVale McGee to try.
JaVale McGee. At any stop. JaVale McGee's a monster.
JaVale McGee's time on the Mavericks made me want to die.
He's better than DeMarcus.
He is better than DeMarcus. Okay. Speaking of lots of money getting thrown around and all that jazz, Carmelo Anthony and the Thunder. There's a little bit of a rift there, I would say, to say the least. I mean, opted into his player option.
Thunder get 10 more wins.
Thunder automatically becomes best team in the NBA.
I mean...
Yeah, the Thunder are now winning the championship now that Melo's gone.
Guarantee.
That means they could go out and sign another old person or somebody else to come off their bench and score 4 points and play good defense.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really like... I think Melo's a great sixth man, but I don't think he'll accept this.
Well,
He's not going to take that sixth man spot. He would be a great sixth man.
I'd agree. He could probably win sixth man of the year, maybe, if he was a sixth man.
Yeah,
but
Lou will.
I think Carmelo would have a real shot. Because he'd be going against backup.
Yeah, so where do we think Melo's going?
Sadly,
I think the Heat's his best fit.
Sadly, I think he's going to go to Houston.
That's what I think.
I really hope he goes to a Miami or some other team. Like, just some crap team that he can't mess up and that he can just get his money, play out his career, get his few points.
Back to the Nuggets.
his game.
Back to the Nuggets.
But I don't want to fuck up anyone's culture.
Dude, I said that.
Hey, the only way.
Like, you can demand a trade to the Knicks.
The only way. The only way to stop the Warriors, Carmelo Anthony signed for the minimum.
Oh, please. The only way. Point from the locker room from the inside out.
Yeah, but I think Houston just makes too much sense. They lost both. They lost Ariza and Mbamute in free agency. Obviously, they have literally. I don't think they have a single small forward on the roster right now. I think it makes too much sense.
Okay, well, I want you to hear me out on this Miami thing, all right? Hear me out. Miami is his biggest opportunity to be the guy. Carmelo has the ego. He wants to be the guy. He tried to be the guy with former MVP Russell Westbrook and Paul George on the team. In Miami, his competition for being the number one option is Hassan Whiteside. I'm not going to say Dragic is his number one competition because Dragic is one of those guys that would gladly give up the ball to somebody who can score. So I think if he goes to Miami, he's going to be giving starting minutes, big starting minutes, you know, probably like 30 minutes or so, or at least however much he can take with his age. And he's going to be able to play well, I hope, against a crappy East.
I don't know. I think the Heat are going to be looking to maybe start moving Justin Winslow into more of the starting minutes. I mean, he is still a young player they did draft that they kind of want to develop, or Josh Richardson or someone like that.
He's a young bust.
But you don't know that until you can give him some more opportunity. I know what Melo is, and he ain't changing. He ain't helping me win more. If I give Justin Winslow the opportunities, he might, maybe, I don't know, I'm not saying he will, but maybe he could turn into something. I know what Melo is. An aging, already poor defender that's getting worse by the minute.
I don't think the Heat have the mindset of just letting that sort of thing happen, because they want to win. That's what they build around. They have a winning culture. Why sign Melo? Because whether you like it or not, Melo puts up numbers.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
He's a hard person to deal with, but yeah, I think honestly, I feel like with Dragic and Whiteside and guys like James Johnson and Tyler Johnson, you know, those are really good role players. And they just re-signed Wayne Ellington. You know, they got guys. They got guys who can give you quality time, put Melo in there who could go say, we want you to score 20 points a game. If you don't score 20 points a game, we got Justice Winslow, who we will gladly play over you. But I think Melo would rather go there where he can be the guy.
I guess that's the question. Does he want to win or does he want to be the guy?
He wants his money. That's why he accepted his player option.
Well, of course he wants his money, but you could also justify, I want to win, because you have a MVP and a All-NBA great defender in Paul George. You can, and a great rim protector in Steven Adams, and a great wing defender in Andre Roberson. So you can justify staying there for money and also maybe winning because you believe you can win. Miami, you're just flat out saying, I'm not a winner. You're officially saying that. Like, it's all, we all think you're it, but that's like officially. Yeah, well, okay, so
he's in the East.
What are the Heat without Mel? What do you think they're stealing his first seed?
I'd say a seven or eight.
Seven or eight.
All right, what with Mel, what do you think they go up to? Or down
I think
to?
Five or six,
four
maybe?
Or five.
Oh, come on.
They move up at least a seed if you had Melo.
It's the East. Okay, you're going to tell me Miami would be better. Really? Right, Miami's not better than Boston.
Give me a scoring threat. Give me a scoring threat that Melo's terrible defense is going to have to go up against every night.
A scoring Giannis, Gordon Hayward, okay, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Three. You just named three people on the Celtics.
Hey, guess what? Those are three players that are scoring threats that Melo.
They're only
going to
play them four times a year.
If they go in the playoffs, apparently,
so
yeah,
they lose the matchup.
We're not talking about
four
playoffs.
Games
we're talking about
the
them winning, getting to the conference championship. We're literally just talking about.
We're talking about making playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, no, I'm just asking. I agree they're going to make the playoffs even with Melo. I'm asking though, are they? They're not better than Boston. They're not going to be better than Philly. They're not going to be better than Toronto.
That's 12 losses.
And I don't think they're going to be better than either Indiana or
Milwaukee.
So they're at best for me six with Melo.
Yeah, five.
You said four with Melo.
Okay, well, a 48-win team is a 5-6 seed in the East.
Because
80% of the time when they're going to be playing the West, they're going to be losing. Because teams 1 through 10
in
the West.
The third seed this year.
Teams 1 through 10 in the West could are all playoff teams in the East.
All right, all right. Let's transition. Let's stop talking about dirt. Like freshen up a little bit with the Fountain of Youth. How do we feel about the Summer League? Who stood out to you guys so far?
All right. First guy, I think it's a given. Kevin Knox.
Knicks fans, stay hating on their draft picks just for their draft picks to do really good for them.
It works.
Yo, I think they're like planning this stuff. If they boo their draft picks, they're good.
I mean, maybe.
Happened with Porzingis, and Kevin Knox is the most athletic person on the court whenever he's playing.
For his size.
I'm talking so far in the summer league, he's bullied everyone with his size, his speed, his strength.
Yeah, so overall, you're saying, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
he's not athletic than, like, Colin Sexton or someone if they went together. Like,
they're probably
pure athleticism. But I'm saying you're combining overall.
Athleticism.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Brennan, what do you think? I know you like your Kevin.
I've been watching his highlights on YouTube. I don't watch any of the Summer League games, like, fully, unless it's the Warriors, obviously. But, I mean, he looks like a stud. He's impressing. I've liked him ever since he was drafted. I never got why people hated on him. He looked like a good player. He looked like he had all the tools to succeed, and I think he's proving it now. Granted, it's still just the Summer League. You have to wait to go up against real NBA competition, but, I mean, things are looking bright right now for the Knicks.
Summer League is a good indication. I will give him that. I was watching the highlights of Kevin Knox versus Josh Hart. You know, those are two big guys Josh Hart will talk about in a bit. Kevin Knox was bullying Josh Hart when Josh Hart couldn't do anything defensively against him, really. And Josh Hart's a pretty good wing defender, I'd say, for his size. And,
not the G League, Summer League, sorry.
Yeah, it's the Summer League, but like Josh Hart was a good defender when he played in the league, I'd say, considering he was a rookie. And you're going up against somebody who's a sophomore, a person who is being considered for the Summer League MVP, and you're winning those battles.
Yeah, it's definitely opening some eyes, and I'm glad people are finally giving my dude some credit.
Wake up, Knicks fans, wake up!
That's true, and Knicks fans, and I mean, shoot, Knicks fans, you got a nice free agency class coming up. Mm-hmm. 2019, that's gonna be crazy.
Can Josh Hart win back-to-back championships for the Summer League Lakers? With the number one seed.
Ooh. You know what?
And they become a dynasty in Summer League. Is the real
the Summer only League championships dynasty? Lakers will win within the next 4 years.
Oh, ouch. There go about half the views. Boy.
Yeah, there goes everyone. Everybody's leaving now.
Shoot, why don't I just make it worse to talk about Jordan Bell? I could go on about Jordan Bell, man.
Can we please talk about Josh Hart first?
Josh Hart. Who's Josh Hart? I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
Josh Hart, yeah. Who are you, Josh?
isn't he a professional Fortnite gamer or something?
Yeah, he's a professional
for everyone nowadays.
Go ahead, tell me. What have you seen, Josh Hart?
Josh Hart has been just as good as anybody else we are going to talk about. Not named Kevin Knox. Okay. Well, Josh Hart's three, ace. Josh Hart's defense, top notch. Josh Hart is the leader on that team, which I think that speaks a lot that he's got all those big personalities in his locker room, and he can still show that he's a leader. So whenever he's got guys like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo clowning on him, he's able to make sure he stays mentally strong,
I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. I can't remember him right now. The center of the Lakers drafted.
Mo Wagner.
He's been nice for them. I like him.
He's out for the rest of Summer League, I think, right?
Yeah, I think I heard something about that. Yeah. But he was nice for them. I liked what I saw.
I'm going to sound for a solid homer for a minute here, but I actually kind of want to talk about Jordan Bell. I mean, first of all...
No, we can talk about
Jordan. First of all, good job, Chicago Bulls. Good job. Cash considerations for probably their opening day starting center. And my gosh, he looks like a man among boys in Summer League. He's not putting up the stat lines, but he is literally a little Draymond right now.
His defense is scary.
Riley, he's pulling up from 3-point.
I'm mad.
Okay, obviously, for the Bulls. I feel like he's not going to be able to hit 3-pointers in the regular season, but if he can hit from 10-15 feet away from the basket, makes the Warriors unstoppable.
That little bit of extra offense off the bench from somebody who's that good at defense.
And the thing is, they could afford to lose Draymond now if they had to. If he can keep progressing.
Whoa.
I'm not saying you could. I'm saying, though, he could. If
I'm not
you
saying
had
you
to
should,
lose him,
but you can't.
No, yeah, but if you... Please lose him. No, but if you want too much money and you couldn't afford it or something, it's not like you're completely screwed.
Yeah.
You do have a nice guy that can kind of fulfill that defensive role. He doesn't have the playmaking of a Draymond.
I mean, if you watch the Summer League, he's literally like bringing the ball up the court. He's running in transition. He's finding the open guy.
Okay.
It's been scary to watch.
But Draymond's playmaking against like in the finals, in like game 6 down 3-2 in the Western Cup. Like, so it's different, but he looks promising, sadly.
Sadly, for the rest of the
NBA. You got somebody that young who's looking who's looking like he has that much potential on a team that's already winning, that doesn't need need to be developing players right now. It is terrifying.
When I saw Jordan Bell play, like for the first time I really started hearing about him, and I started watching some of his highlights, some of his games, I'm like, like, just, like, why?
And it's not just
you're right.
It's crazy.
No, but he is totally, like you said, a mini Draymond.
Yeah.
It's exactly who he is. And I don't like that. Because that was the one guy where if they lost him, it's like, that's their glue guy.
Yeah.
You could argue he's next to Steph their most valuable player just because of all the intangible stuff he does.
Yes.
So you were really hoping, like, especially... I mean, granted, you know, I think he probably would have taken that Dennis Rodman role of where he just kind of he's okay being that rather than go try to be something like by himself. Cause I think he knows his limitations. I think he knows he's in a great, great situation. He's going to be a Hall of Famer here. I think we can all kind of agree. He's not going to be probably most likely even an all-star anywhere else, I would say. Maybe he'd be all defensive because he's still a great defender, but I just don't think he would get as many opportunities offensively.
I agree. I don't think he's half the player on any other team that Morty is on the Warriors right now. Unless you
replicate the Warriors. But that shouldn't devalue him at what he is now.
Yeah, no.
What he is now is tremendous.
But yeah, what's terrifying about the Warriors, and even I'll admit is terrifying for me as a fan, is that the Warriors are in a win-now mode, yet they're drafting people like Kevon Looney, Patrick McCaw, Jordan Bell, that are developing and turning into great players. And freaking Quinn Cook. What was he waived by
Quinn
four
Cook.
Teams before he was on the Warriors?
Yeah, he was on the Cavs. He was on the Cavs at one point, and I bet they were wishing they still had him.
It's crazy what the Warriors are doing, and I won't talk about too much. Actually, speaking of the Cavs, another guy, Colin Sexton.
Young point guard. He's looking like their future, man. And, you know, just yesterday, 25-7.
I saw that.
That's looking nice.
Yeah, basically
the
starting Kings lineup.
Yeah.
Maybe you add Zach Randolph in. No, you have Marvin Bagley. You wouldn't add Zach Randolph. Never mind.
Do you guys think the Cavs make the playoffs next year?
I think, unpopular opinion,
Riley
I think
the hot
they make playoffs.
Here. Yeah.
I got the hot take. The Cavs
make
playoffs.
I think they
make
playoffs, and I think they make playoffs a lot higher than anyone else would think.
Kevin Love, we know he can score with a guy in front of him. A guy, LeBron James, in front of him. Given that number one role, I think he's putting up 20. I think he's adding 2 rebounds.
Yeah.
It depends.
I mean, Sexton, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Kevin Love, Larry Nance, like...
J.R. Smith.
Well, okay. All right.
No.
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 George Hill.
Anyways.
Tristan Thompson.
They're a lot better... Then
Seti Osman.
Oh, gosh.
Seti Osman.
Oh, I saw a Cavs fan tweet a picture or a clip of Seti Osman. It's like, wow, Seti Osman really learned from LeBron while he was here. And it was like, he like drove in, kicked it out or something. And it was really cringy. So I was like, no. They're already trying to find their next LeBron. And I think that was their problem in the first place.
Yeah, you aren't gonna find another LeBron for another 30 years. I'm sorry, Cavs fans.
So before we get to the big three, we want to talk about
NBA might not find another LeBron for another 30 years.
That's true. Before we get into the big three, we want to talk about DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Trae Young. Is there any other standouts you guys want to talk about? Real quick, touch on a few.
Furkan Korkmaz scored 40 in the first day of summer. That in was Vegas crazy. League, I believe.
That was crazy. I remember that.
And you know, most people look at that like 40 points. And I thought I'm pretty sure he shot 10 for 18. It's like, okay, he shot barely 50%. All right, but up until the last 2 minutes of the game, he was 8 for 10. He was 8 for 10 shooting. Then he realized they were losing and just started jacking up threes. But, you know, if you got a guy like that who can go out and score like that, and that, if that can translate in any capacity to the regular season, you know, the 76ers, and that's what Furkan plays for. The 76ers just lost Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova. Those are two shooters off their bench. So if Korkmaz can be that replacement, good for them, man.
No, I agree completely. He's looking.
Is there any disappointments so far to you guys this summer league that you kind of hoping were kind of show more out, but that you're not kind of a little disappointed.
I mean, I was gonna say Trae Young, but then Trae Young got good all of a sudden. So
Trae Young has mixed emotions for me.
I don't. He had terrible first couple games, and then all of a sudden he's looking like he's going to be good, and I think that's gonna settle his career. Actually, I think he's gonna be streaky, really, really, really streaky.
As a you know, and I think a lot of people saw that coming.
I myself
saw that coming with him, but you know, I was really hoping in summer league to be proved wrong with my initial ideas about it, because me being a Mavs fan, the fact that, you know, we traded up, I was hoping to see that, yes, without a doubt, the Mavs did the right thing. I don't think we would have drafted Trae Young anyway, but if Trae Young at number 5 ends up being great and Doncic just ends up being okay or not good or whatever, and I'm going to be a little bit mad, but...
Start preparing yourself, because Trae Young's better than Doncic.
Oh, okay. Well, Trae Young has shown that he can put up crazy numbers, hit threes from half court, but he's also shown that he can make the worst decisions possible and how to shoot the ball.
Hey, man.
He also kind of, in college, started to kind of wear down towards the end. How's he going to handle an NBA schedule where the intensity is kicked up and... You know, he's a kind of like almost a household name now. So, I mean, people are going to want to go at him a little bit. Not like Lonzo level where he had a target, but you know, people are going to want to kind of show him up and kind of show him this isn't college. This isn't going to be like that.
I think he's in a good position, though, because he's got Schroeder ahead of him and guys like Kent Bazemore, who are also guys who play that shooting role. Yeah, if Schroeder and Bazemore are still on the team, but I think
Bazemore
if he's. But. If he starts getting tired or something, he can't handle the rigors of the long season, or if he's having a game where he is just ice cold. You know, they have other guys they could throw in, and I think for somebody as young as he is, I think putting him on a short leash would be good for him, especially when he has that I need to be the guy to shoot these shots mindset.
That's tough, though, because, you know, you don't want to – if he, like, misses, like, let's say 5-6 threes in a row, and then you yank them – you're at that short leash, you yank it. You don't want him, because he is a shooter, to lose his confidence in his shot because you're yanking him too quick. Maybe he, you know, because I'm just pointing out being devil's advocate of this argument here. People might say, like, you have to let him work through that to kind of, you know, eventually get better at it than, you know, just kind of yank him right away, because, you know, he might not have as much confidence in his shot and it might just get more and more streaky. It might become Lonzo 2.0.
I see what you mean.
So how do we feel about number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, so far? I mean, he kind of did really good against Mbamba, but I mean,
he destroyed Mbamba.
He's done what I've expected him to do. Like, I'm not surprised. I'm not let down. There have been plays where he has looked like he loves basketball and that is what he cares about the most, and then there have been plays where he's just like meh.
This is the play where he came flying out and swatted the ball.
Yeah, like he has crazy effort plays and then no effort plays.
He struggled today though against Philly. It's not every game you're gonna have 26-10 or whatever, but yeah. In the summer league. But yeah, you know, just to kind of, you know, mention that he did kind of struggle a little bit today. But for the most part, it's been pretty impressive. Excited to see what those two young tandems of Devin Booker and DeAndre and go to work to this year.
The new Kobe and Shaq?
Stop.
No.
Is it the new Kobe and Shaq?
No. Okay, let's go ahead and transition. No. Let's talk about our favorite teams heading into the next season. What do you guys think?
Well, Bailey, I'll let you kick this one off.
Oh, damn.
it's all you, buddy.
My favorite team is Boston. I want them to be good. I think they'll win the East this year and everything. And have a chance against Golden State just because how deep the team is and how, you know, how great of a coach Brad Stevens is. Kyrie's been there, done that, played against that team. So, you know, we have a great leader that's been there. But the team I think is going to kind of pop this year, probably pretty popular, but I'm going to say the Milwaukee Bucks. I think Giannis is going to take it to another level this year. And I think hopefully with Mike Budenholzer as their coach, who I like personally as a coach in his years past, I think that team can rise to about the third, fourth seed this year and probably get to the second. I don't see Eastern Conference Finals, but maybe.
I respect it.
It all comes down to Giannis and if he can take that leap. We saw this year at the beginning of the season especially, he was on another level. And they kind of reeled it back as soon as they brought in Eric Bledsoe, because I think in his mind he thought that he needed to let Eric Bledsoe get his touches. But, you know, I think Giannis needs to just take the reins and just say, okay, I'm the guy. I'm the best player in the East now that LeBron's gone. I got to play like it.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of has to play the LeBron role where he has a point guard, but he kind of has to dominate the ball, you know, because that's how he's going to be most of it. He's not going to be great in the post outside of, like, close to the basket. He doesn't obviously have a jumper, really. He kind of has a little bit of a mid-range game, but not great. He's good at cutting, but I think he's best with the ball in his hands. I think that's kind of what you were saying, though. I think he kind of let Eric Bledsoe run it a little bit more than he probably should have, in my opinion. But hopefully they can either kind of just let Giannis go to work, or maybe Giannis developed a little bit of a jump shot or post game where feasible for him to play off ball. If he does.
Oh, man.
Even if he just develops, like, you know, a mid-range post game. And he doesn't even get a three ball. It's over.
It's a wrap if he gets a deadly mid range or even just a consistent mid range shot. That's game over, man.
I saw someone today.
He's a 7-foot point guard.
It's ridiculous. I saw someone today on Twitter that said if Giannis had Kyrie's handles and KD shooting, he'd be unstoppable. It's like, yeah, no crap, he'd be unstoppable. He's damn near unstoppable now. Like, Kyrie's handles and KD's shooting.
Oh, he's already got great ball control and vision, man. Like, Kyrie is the best ball handler probably ever. Is that safe?
I would probably
in terms of just players. Dribble moves and sizing up people and all that, breaking ankles.
I would say either Tim Hardaway or Isaiah Thomas, the original, just because Allen Iverson, Kyrie, both great handles, don't get me wrong, but they let him carry. They let them carry the ball a lot.
And yeah, they got to get their highlights.
Yeah, so, like, and the refs are cool with it. They don't call it, and I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying, in terms of a pure crossover that's, like, within the rules, the confined rules of the game, those are probably the two best ones to me. But if you're just talking about look and fan, like, I would – Kyrie's probably the best ever. Him and AI are right there for me.
Riley, who's your favorite team, or who do you like going into next season?
You know, Bailey mentioned him at the beginning of his I think it's the Celtics, and obviously Kyrie.
Ooh, he's going into second unoriginal year. Pick.
Okay, hear me out. Right? Kyrie is going into the second year on the team as the leader. They're getting back Gordon Hayward. Add that to a team that already took LeBron to seven, and you got a team that is going to take over the East. I think they're going to be in the championship next year against the Warriors. But, you know, if Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and Jason Tatum can all just get better, if Gordon Hayward can be what he was before his injury, if Al Horford still has his good shot and his amazing defense, there's no reason why that team can't show out next year and be just as good as the top guys in the West.
Yeah, I agree. However, I'm going to go ahead and go with a little, you know, easier, not easier, a little more bold pick, and partially because of a certain player on the team, but I like the Utah Jazz, man. I mean,
Joe Ingles.
Yeah,
Joe Ingles. It's
definitely Joe Ingles. No, I mean, I love, first of all, Donovan Mitchell was Rookie of the Year in my mind.
Really?
Yep, same. In my heart, he's the People's Rookie of the Year.
He is. He definitely is. First of all, that. And then just the team itself, it's a pretty good team. Obviously,
it's a very good
team. It sucks
team.
That they're in the West, but I mean, this is the team that beat, granted, the Thunder, you know, they had Melo, but they beat the Thunder.
They didn't just beat the Thunder. They beat the Thunder, okay?
Like, they held Paul George to 5 points in game six.
Joe Ingles got in Paul George's head, man.
Dude, Ricky Rubio got in Russ's head.
That was that funny.
That team gets under your skin. They're just pure.
I mean,
they're like dogs out there.
I mean, first of all,
they're like the new Bad Boys.
Maybe. Donovan Mitchell. First of all, Gobert is great. Rubio can prove he's decent. Perfect. They brought back Derek Favors.
He's a good point guard.
They have Dante Exum, I think is, you know, pretty good. I mean, shout out to him being in 2K, if you guys remember.
Oh, yeah, 2K14.
And they drafted Grayson Allen, who, as much as I don't like him, I think he's a decent basketball player.
He's a perfect fit for what they're trying to do down there. I think they're building a defensive mindset. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier, Ricky Rubio and Joe Ingles, they got in people's head. There's no better player in college at pissing off the person on the other side. On the other team, mm-hmm. than Grayson Allen. Mm-hmm. Grayson Allen instigated more fights than anybody else in Duke history.
Jeez, man. All right, well, let's go ahead and head into some predictions. Some predicciones.
Well, I think we need to. I think one thing before we do that, Isaiah Thomas just signed with the Denver Nuggets.
Whoa,
that's
a little sneaky.
On a 1 year minimum deal.
Minimum?
Wait, minimum?
1 year minimum. 1 year minimimum deal.
Wow.
He's got a minimum deal?
Dude, really?
Yeah. It surprises me.
Was that a wash?
We gotta talk about this now, right? We're gonna put that other thing to the side for a sec. So, does he deserve the minimum?
No, he's a good player.
What does he deserve? Like, nothing?
Like... He doesn't deserve what people think he deserves.
What's he even doing on that team?
Yeah, right?
Maybe he's going there as a mentor role?
Mentor for Jamal Murray?
Yeah, really.
For Jamal Murray? Another smaller...
Dude, I don't even know who's on that team.
After pushing for a max contract this year, he's just like okay with, okay, this is what I am in one summer.
Okay, but he is joining a
very shooter-heavy team. That team already has Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton. Those are three guys who are all going to get big minutes. How is Isaiah Thomas going to fit?
Why?
Jordan Clarkson only got like 15 minutes, but he managed to take 14 shots.
You can
figure a way.
I don't get, like, if he signed for the minimum, why would he go to, I'm so confused.
Denver.
I don't know. Maybe he thinks if he can revive what he had in Boston.
I thought Orlando was going to be...
That was the perfect fit for me, was Orlando. They're the worst team in terms of guards.
I know it didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. I was kind of hoping the Knicks would get him.
No.
Like.
I mean, you got Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah, you got a nice offensive guard, a nice defensive guard.
Yeah, but it's like, who do you start?
None of that matters, though. He's on the Nuggets. Are the Nuggets even going to be in the playoffs next year?
No.
Come on. You don't think so?
Okay. If Paul Millsap's healthy, if Jokic plays up to his max contract, if Will Barton, for some reason, figures out how to earn that $50 million.
Not until I get the clear that Michael Porter Jr. is playing next year, I'm not putting him in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't think Michael Porter Jr. would be anything anyway.
Oh, whoa.
I think he's a good... I think if he played, he'd be good. I just don't think he's healthy enough yet.
So the Nuggets would make the playoffs in the East.
Yeah, I think they make the playoffs.
I think at most they're probably the 8th seed this year, just because of how stacked things are. Maybe 7. I don't know, man. Paul Millsap. And
they could be a nice team that goes off this year. I'm not saying they'll be like second or third, but I think they could make a bigger run like Portland made this year than we thought they would make. I think they could make a run like that.
I can agree with that.
Probably one of the, I don't know for sure, I'd have to think about, maybe like one of the 5 best like under 23, 24-year-old players in the league. He's a point center. You want to talk about passing bigs. You mentioned Marcus. I mean, Jokic is probably the best passer.
Okay, but I don't think they make the playoffs. Yeah. Okay, so let me give you my 8 people, not in any order. So you got Houston, Golden State, Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah, New Orleans, Lakers, obviously. I hope the Lakers. That right there is 7 on its own.
And they got the Mavericks.
We haven't talked about San Antonio as much as, I mean, if Kawhi's there, first of all, they're making playoffs. Minnesota.
I don't. Kawhi said he's not. Kawhi said he's fine sitting out.
He's not. He's not going to sit out. He can't sit out.
He's not going to sit. All right.
So let's just talk about who we have there. I think a team that we could see not being in that playoff list there is the Timberwolves. They lost to Ed Davis. Well, Timberwolves,
I didn't put them in the list yet.
Not the Trailblazers. My bad. The Trailblazers,
I could totally see them missing.
Trailblazers, I love Damian
Lillard. I love CJ McCollum. But they lost Ed Davis, who, considering that Nurkic isn't the most dominant defensive guy, Ed Davis
is somebody that they were a 3 seed, and they are buns. They're going to make playoffs, even if it's lower.
I think they caught fire. I don't think they're a natural 3.
They were the hottest team for a solid month.
I think they're closer to that 8 seed than they are.
They still won 49 games.
Yeah, they won 49 games.
They won 49, but you got to remember, the West was so jam-packed, they could have, like, within a week span, gone to the 10th seed just because of how close it was, if things fell wrong. They were the 3rd seed, but I don't think they were really... I think they're closer to 6, 7, 8. They were within 5 games
as the 8th seed.
That
tells the story right there.
7th, 8th around that, and I think
I don't think
so many teams have gotten better in play. And like Anthony Davis,
and Denver's gotten better.
Denver's just gonna get better because
they just added Isaiah Thomas.
Denver's gonna get better just because Jokic is getting older, more experienced. Gary Harris, Jamal Murray. They're just getting Paul Millsap's coming back. Will Barton, you're just getting better because you're progressing as players. You're coming into your physical and
you're building like chemistry.
Game prime, yeah, and chemistry.
They were a game out of playoffs last year. Remember, it came down to the last game of the season for them was the Timberwolves versus the Nuggets. Winner made playoffs, and they lost that. They were a game away from playoffs.
That's playoffs, and now the West is even better.
Yeah, but I Millsap missed like 60-something, like not 60, he missed like 20, 30, 40 games or something.
He missed over half the season.
They easily make the playoffs if he's there. Mm-hmm. They're only one game out. I mean, now he's going to be there. Unless Paul Millsap is like a shell of himself because of his age, I can't see them not being there personally. Now, maybe they're not as high as I think, but they have to make at least the 8 seed to me.
Okay.
And they'd be a dangerous AC.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know, when you got a guy like IT, who you know can just snap and score 30, a guy like Jamal Murray.
And might not deserve $1 million, like the minimum, and now you're out here praising him.
Like, we know what IT has been. I don't think he's it anymore, but even guys like Brandon Roy, when he was on his last leg, he was still going out for the Timberwolves and scoring 20 every once in a while. Dirk, he's 40. He's good for one 40-point game a year.
40-point game?
He is.
Yeah,
no,
2 years
he
ago.
Is.
I don't think he had one last year, but 2 years ago he had a 40-point game.
At his age has ever scored over 40. There's only been one, and that was Michael Jordan. He was the only guy that ever scored over 40 at 40 years old.
Oh, well, Dirk just turned 40, so.
If Dirk scores 40 this year, I will buy you all the maple syrup you want. Because I live in Vermont, by the way, guys. He lives in Texas.
So, I'm going to take you on that bet.
I got the hookup.
And listen, if Dirk doesn't, I will send you barbecue sauce if Dirk does not. Because I'm in Texas. 40?
Dude, if he drops I'd be surprised if he dropped 30.
What? You are slandering. You are slandering the greatest power forward ever.
Greatest Dallas Mavericks power forward ever.
The greatest power forward ever.
No.
Yes.
He's third on my all-time, personally. But that's not
the style. That's not here or now. That's not here or now.
That's not here or now.
I just don't see it, man.
All right. I just don't see it.
Let's go ahead
and transition into our predictions for next year.
Our planned programming.
Yeah. So, I mean, shoot, I guess we start off with who's winning the championship next year, guys?
Oh, I gotta go with the
Mavericks.
After doing my research, I'm gonna go with the Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think they will. What would you give them as a chance of sneaking into the playoffs?
No.
Like,
zero.
Zero?
Zero.
I don't think they will. I'm going to give them 10%. 10% is way too high.
I'm going to give them 10%. Because
I can name 12 teams better.
They added Trevor Ariza.
It's over. He was the heart and soul of Houston.
Yeah, Houston's not making playoffs next year, okay?
Yeah, God, they're out. They only have two stars and one superstar that was just MVP.
Okay, let's cut the crap. Warriors are winning the championship next year, all right? Yeah. I hate it. The world hates it. They're winning the championship.
Not everyone hates it.
Yeah, Warriors fans.
Everyone except the Warriors fans hate it. Can we just leave it at that, all right? I feel bad enough as is. I'm going to see Boogie in a Warriors jersey next year, and I can't root for him.
All right, let's talk about something that someone that won't, not on the Warriors will have to win, because there's no way anyone on the Warriors will win this award, the MVP award. I want to hear, Bailey, you go first. Who you got winning the MVP? Why?
Well, like I said earlier when I was talking about my favorite teams or teams I think are going to pop this year, Milwaukee. I think Giannis is going to win MVP because if he does what I think with Milwaukee and raises them to the 4 or 3 seed. You know, obviously every year he's been getting better and better and better as a scorer and just as the overall player. So I think if he can take that maybe one little less, like one little extra step into his game and can really help his team. Because like he's a great individual player, but he hasn't led his team to wins yet. If he can start to lead his team to 45, 50, he'd have to win at least 50. But like 50 to 55 wins next year, I think he has a great case. I think people kind of want to give him the MVP because they see how talented he is. So I think if he has a pretty great year, I think he'll probably get it just because how much people love him as an up-and-coming young player like Anthony Davis kind of.
I like it.
Do you like it? How much do you like it?
I do. I like it a lot, all right? So Giannis is a guy that – I don't know anybody that doesn't like Giannis. You know, Lil Wayne rhymed like 150 words with Giannis on Antetokounmpo. Okay, people gotta love Giannis, right? And I think right now in the league, people are thirsty for something new, especially since we've had the same finals matchup for 4 years in a row now. And I think somebody as young as Giannis, who is on a team that has generally not been as successful lately, I think it just makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Giannis, except in a different form. I got Ben Simmons winning MVP this year, man.
Wow, bold. That's bold.
I'm very bold. I mean, I think he's, first of all,
I think you're stupid, but you're bold.
LeBron Jr. As much as I don't like Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is
Magic Johnson Jr.
Ben Simmons is good.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is good.
No, nobody's doubting that, but MVP good?
MVP, right? A lot of people won MVP that shouldn't have been won, but that's not here or now. Not here or now. We're talking about Ben Simmons and how he's going to lead the Philadelphia 76ers to the 1 seed next year in the East.
You think one they're the 1 seed over the Celtics?
Yep.
1 seed.
Wow.
That would have been a hot take.
I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is going to be great next year. And you can ask Riley. Oh, yeah. I am a huge Kyrie fan. I am a huge Giannis fan, but Ben Simmons is going to be the best player in the East next year. Best player in the East.
No.
Yes.
No.
He has MVP all though. The tools. MVP because he's going to lead us to the one seed in the East.
All the tools does not have a jump shot to save his life or cannot hit a free throw to save his life. But he has all the
That's what this offseason's for, baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's healthy. That's how it works. You literally go in a gym and start shooting.
Give him some time, man.
What do you give us a time?
Yeah, let him at least be 25.
You're saying next year, I don't have time, Brandon.
He just won Rookie of the Year, Brandon.
He didn't deserve that Rookie of the Year, first of all, so I'm giving him an award that he will deserve.
Oh, but now he deserves MVP.
You know, you guys are going to be looking back at this, laughing at me for thinking that Ben Simmons.
You guys heard it first here. Brandon thinks Ben Simmons is winning MVP. Whenever, if he does win MVP, Bleacher Report, please remember that we said this first. This is the hottest take of the century. You should definitely sign us, okay? Yeah.
I'll give you this, Brandon. I'll give you this. All right. I don't think it's gonna happen. As I said, I think it's Giannis. But here's the thing. And to be fair, the numbers don't have to be great. They don't have to be LeBron or James Harden numbers to win MVP.
Derrick Rose MVP. When Derrick Rose won MVP, he was nowhere near as good as LeBron that season.
No, but his team won like 60 games.
Thank you.
And he won like 54. But that's the thing. I don't think though that the 76ers are gonna have like a 10+ win record advantage over the Boston Celtics. That was something that helped Derrick Rose, that he had a lesser team talent wise than Miami. I would agree. Ben Simmons, same case here. Lesser talent overall team. But I don't think they're going to win 10 or 11 more games than Boston. I think they could, if they do get the one seed or a higher seed than Boston, I think it's going to be like 4 or 5 games, but nothing crazy.
At the
He doesn't need to be Boston to get MVP. He just needs to beat the MVP runner, which is LeBron, who's not winning. He's not going to get higher than a 3 seed.
Well, I don't think he has to get a 3 seed. If he had a 4 seed, if it's close, man. If it's like this last year in the West, you know
what? You guys keep slandering. We're going to look back at this. And let's go. Fine, Riley. If you're making fun of me, let's hear your so original pick of MVP.
The most boring MVP pick humanly possible. LeBron James.
Pretty sure that's probably been your MVP pick for like the last 5 years.
Thank you.
As long as LeBron is in the league, he's the MVP, okay? The MVP, really? The most valuable player.
We all agree to this. Talking, we agree to this, but we're
talking
it's not
LeBron
happen.
James on the worst team he's been on since that 1 year that he didn't make the playoffs, that one season.
He missed it. He missed it twice.
Rookie okay, the two season. All right. Awkward.
It's rookie year. You don't really count because it's his rookie year.
This is the worst team he's been on since then, I believe. And he wants to compete because he's old. He's going to go out. He's going to score 30+ a game. He's going to average
plus?
A triple double next year. He's going to average a 30
what?
Point triple double next year.
Okay,
right
hold up.
Here.
This might be
30
than
point triple double.
What?
Calling it.
Okay, well, hold on. It wouldn't even be that special. Russell Westbrook has already averaged a 30 point triple double. So it's
exactly,
not like that.
But it's going to be LeBron on the Lakers. It is the biggest spotlight possible. He is in the second biggest city on Earth.
Listen.
Or in the United States, not on Earth.
No.
Riley.
No.
Riley, fully roll.
LeBron, this makes the most sense for LeBron to win MVP.
Listen, I actually do kind of agree. This is LeBron's best chance he's had since his Miami days to win an MVP. Even better than when he was in Cleveland. Because even when you're in the Cleveland, you're winning 50 games or you get the 1 seed or 2 seed.
You're still in Cleveland.
But you're also in the East, so people are going to be like, yeah, you won 52 games, 54 games, but you're in the East, you have far away the best team in the East, you should win more than 54 games, and they kind of disqualify him. That's kind of been the case the last few years. In the West, you do have a better case because you're going against better teams. If you can get them to like 48 to 55 wins, somewhere in that range, you have a good case. I just don't think you should be like 30-point triple-double out of nowhere. Like
you think I'm wrong now, but LeBron's the best. LeBron is the best basketball player to ever grace the NBA.
No,
in my opinion.
Oh, now
no.
All right, hold up, now, Brandon.
No,
no, no. This isn't.
Yes.
No.
No, guys. He's
nobody
a Dallas fan.
Has been as athletic.
He's
nobody.
Been brainwashed.
There's been nobody more athletic than LeBron.
Equates
nobody
best?
Smarter than LeBron.
What?
Nobody who
smarter?
Could dominate a floor as much as LeBron.
What?
Oh my god. This is so bad.
It's not bad, and you're gonna be. I'm gonna be proven wrong listen, by the end of the year when LeBron averages 30-point triple double and wins MVP.
Riley, let me put this in perspective. LeBron had more than two times more triple doubles than Russell Westbrook had in his career. Like before Russell went on his MVP run, he then beat LeBron. Like has more than LeBron by like 20 or something. So. I'm really, like, he's not been this, he's capable because he's always like 28, 8, and 8. So he's always like two assists, two rebounds away. But he's never really done it. So I don't know, man. That's a lot. Lonzo and Rondo, how is he going to even get 10 assists? Who's he going to get the assists from? What, is he going to be dumping it into, I don't know who he's dumping it. You don't have a center, JaVale McGee?
Self alleys.
JaVale McGee is gonna be his dude, I guess.
Oh gosh. Okay, you know
he's
what, Riley?
Be throwing inbounds.
Riley, let's stick with this. Who do you think's winning Rookie of the Year next year, Riley? I wonder.
All right, Rookie of the Year. I'm a Mavs fan.
Oh my
Bear
god.
With me. Doncic, man.
Ah, damn! Surprising.
Listen. All right, and this anybody could say what I'm about to say and it would make sense. You just discount it because I am a Mavs fan.
And because Trae Young's better.
You can kindly fuck off, all right? What do we know about Luka Doncic?
He's overrated. MVP.
He's a champion. He's a gold
medal. He's
a
champion?
Winner.
Europe. In Europe.
Yeah. Europe.
Yep.
Weak competition.
Yep. And he's a gold medal winner.
Gold medal winner, yes, because that equates success in the NBA. In Europe again.
Carmelo's gold medal winner.
He has played against better competition than anybody else that was drafted.
No.
This year.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
The Spanish league is better talent than the NCAA because you're playing former NBA players and people who have been basketball for 10 plus years.
Here's the thing with that. Teams don't, when they scout Luka Doncic, they're just seeing like who's the biggest European players out there, and Luka's one of them. They don't know the Spanish league rosters like one. They don't know those players and how good they really are. They know when they watch college basketball, because that's the more standard way of draft. That's the more standard pool of kids you pick from. They know more of the deeper roster. So they know if like, oh, he's, you know, Marvin Bagley's playing great against DeAndre Ayton. You know, okay, but Luka's playing great against some like the second best European player, but or something like that. He's just it's not as notable because
okay, it
cares.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how notable they are. At the end of the day, the fact he's been playing better competition has prepared him more for the NBA. He's going to step into the NBA,
relative.
And he's going to play better than any other rookie because he is better than any other rookie.
He's not named Trae Young.
Against better people.
If he's on Dallas, he will play better.
He has been prepared better than anybody else for the NBA, so it makes sense that he will be Rookie of the Year. He's coming into the Mavs. He will instantly be the number one scoring option.
That's like saying Lonzo Ball would be instantly Rookie of the Year because the UCLA won 15 games before and 36 with him. Therefore, he's going to be Rookie of the Year. But
no,
little do we know Donovan Mitchell, who's
nothing
getting
involved
in
the NCAA,
years.
Is relevant to this, all right?
No,
nothing
I'm just
is,
saying.
You can't compare that.
Yes, I can. I absolutely can. You're using Europe. I can use NCAA, so I can't use...
Because Doncic
like...
played in Europe.
Okay,
Doncic played against actual professionals.
I'm sorry that I don't send my kids to Lithuania like LeVar Ball, okay? I have to go to college and play against good, like, you know,
Spanish
normal American
is
kids.
The second best organized basketball league in the world. It's not the NBA. It's second to the NBA only. NCAA is below that. He's playing against people who have been to the NBA but weren't good enough to make rosters. But they were the best
kids
players
are playing against
their
people
NCAA
that are going to the NBA, too. That's just as easily said.
No,
if DeAndre Ayton plays Marvin
against,
Bagley, he's going to the NBA.
The people he's playing against have been people who have been some of the best people.
There's a reason
basketball.
They're not in the NBA.
Yeah, but they were the best
There's
people.
There's a reason why people that too. Everyone else are playing against are going to the NBA.
He's playing actual professional sports, and he's the best person in the second best league of basketball in the world.
No. I'm not saying Nauseous ain't gonna be doesn't have a chance. I'm just saying you're going a little over top here with it.
And if you're
Luka Doncic will average 45-9-7 next year, shooting 70%, 50% from three.
And white.
Like
no, all right, MVP, no. He's going to have growing pains. He's going to have growing pains, but he's already the number one option for the Mavs.
No, you're not slandering Harrison Barnes like this.
Listen, I love Harrison Barnes, but Carlisle's already said it. Carlisle has already said he's our guy.
He's our guy, meaning he's your guy to build around.
Yes, you build around your best players.
He's not the He's not going to be the go-to scoring option next year. He's
the number one scorer.
He's already going to be our primary ball handler, so he's going to be
getting... Because you don't have a single other ball handler on that team.
Yes, Dennis Smith Jr. had 6 assists a game last year almost.
6 assists a
game. How many turnovers?
I don't know.
Probably a lot.
Still, Dennis Smith is a good ball handler. Harrison Barnes can take the ball up the court. We have guys like J.J. Barea who can take the ball up the court.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's bringing up Harrison Barnes and J.J. Barea.
I'm shocked that Doncic is going to have a higher role than J.J.
Barea. Or even Harrison Barnes.
Listen, what I'm saying is he's going to have a bigger role than anybody else in that draft outside of DeAndre Ayton. Colin Sexton's the number two option.
Colin Sexton.
Yeah, but he's the number one primary ball handler. Kevin Love ain't dribbling that ball off the court.
The number one – Doncic is the number one scoring option and
did they say that?
Trae Young.
Or are you saying
Trae Young's the number one scoring option.
It makes sense for them.
Trae Young's the number one scoring option.
Trae Young is more likely to be a number one scoring option than Doncic.
Thank you.
Trae Young's going to be coming off the bench behind Schroeder.
Nope.
No, Schroeder ain't going to be there.
Yeah, Schroeder is not going to be there. Like, let's he's keep there it a right buck.
Now?
No.
As of right now, Schroeder's their number
one. As of right now, Doncic has not played.
They want to trade Schroeder, right? If they don't trade Schroeder, why would they start Schroeder? They're trying to trade him. They would start Trae Young because that's what their plan is anyway.
Why don't they start them both and have Trae Young? Trae Young is more of a shooting guard anyways. We're keeping it a buck.
Trae Young's a better ball handler.
He's a better
passer. He's too good of a ball handler to play.
They can both also, like, damn. The point is.
All I'm saying is, if we're talking about the people who are the most prepared for the league and what it in the season, we're talking Luka Doncic. I think he's going to have the least amount of growing pains in terms of the physical toll of the game because he's playing against older people who are built for basketball, not young guys who are still developing their bodies. And, you know, he. Not only played well against them, he dominated them. So
okay,
you guys might hate on it. You guys might hate on it because I am a Mavs fan and I'm saying it. But
it's because you're going over the top with it.
It makes sense. I'm not going over the top. Everything I've said is something somebody else has already said.
Yeah, Mavs fan blogs, whatever your SB Nation site.
It's been on ESPN Sports Center.
So they said he's the number one scoring option. Or do they say he's the number one primary ball handler? Because that's different.
Carlisle said that.
Carlisle he said he's our guy.
What is he?
Is he our guy.
That doesn't mean he's the number one.
He's the number one scoring option. Ben Simmons is the guy, but he's not the number one scoring option. Embiid is.
Brandon thinks he's going to be MVP.
I do think he's going to be MVP. You can win MVP without having be the top scorer on the team.
Nash won MVPs. He wasn't the top scorer. Kidd came in second while shooting 37% with 15 points a game. Like, you can win it with not having great points per game.
Y'all are just hating on it because I'm a Mavs.
No, because you're taking it too far.
I like Doncic. I feel you're going over the top.
I'm not going over the top at all.
Oh, my gosh. All
right. Yo, if he was as good as you said, why wouldn't he have gone one? If that's exactly what everyone was thinking.
Because the NBA is freaky about big men.
He's not.
Stephen A. Smith said he was the best player in that draft.
Oh yeah,
because Stephen A. Smith
he also said Porzingis was a bust and that he hated him. So, yo, yeah, take his opinion for a lot.
I'm pretty sure Steve Smith said it too.
Steve Smith, you mean the TNT guy?
Yeah,
I'm not taking their word. They're not scouts. They're just commentators making noise.
I'm not the only person. I'm not the only person preaching this,
that
man.
Okay, that just means more
means
people,
more people are crazy. That's
y'all are gonna feel dumb.
You're gonna feel dumb. And they were like, the world's gonna blow up. Just because a lot of people said it didn't mean the world was gonna blow up. Just because a lot of people say it doesn't mean it's gonna happen. I think
y'all are gonna be proven wrong.
Listen, I'm just saying did anyone say in the Mavs organization he is the number one scoring option? That is my question. Not is he the primary ball handler, not is he the guy. Did anyone say he is the number one scoring option?
Give me one sec.
Oh my gosh.
Do you don't even know what you're saying it?
I'm looking it up to give you a definitive answer.
Well, you're saying it, so I thought you would have known. What about you, Brandon? Who's your pick for Rookie of the Year? While Riley's looking that up.
Go right ahead.
Ben Simmons.
Oh, my God.
I mean, sure, if he won it last year, why can't he win it this year? If he won it last year, he was a rookie last year.
He was a rookie.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. By the rules of the NBA.
By the rules of the NBA. I like Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley.
I do. I don't think he's my rookie of the year, but I do like him.
I like Marvin Bagley.
Great defender. I think he probably has the best chance, I would say, just because, I mean.
Over Aiden?
It's the Kings. Yeah, because you had Devin
Booker.
That's
the one thing holding me back, the fact that he's on the Kings.
Like, he's on the Kings.
Hey, man. Kings are people, too.
Like, it's the Kings.
No, they're not. They're that cousin you meet once a year that you try to, you hook up with, but you never call.
Wait, you hook cousin?
No, you're not. You don't hook up with him, but you like, cousin? You talk to him.
No, you just said hook up with your cousin.
No, you hook up with your cousin.
This is like Boston fans. Let me tell you.
I just mean like talk to them, connect, catch up, but then you never ever talk to them again. That's what the Kings are. They're like a team you probably talk about once a year, and then you forget about them until the draft lottery, and they draft someone else that's going to ruin their career.
Okay, here's my thought on the situation with Marvin Bagley. The last year, the rookies that we saw did everything. They played defense. They scored. They were ball handlers. Obviously, they had things that they were better at than others, but
like not being a
Marvin
rookie.
Marvin Bagley is very one-dimensional. He has no defense whatsoever. He is
Marvin
offense.
Marvin Bagley?
Mm-hmm. He puts in no effort on the defensive side of the ball. And that was the one knock going into the draft for him, that he just didn't put in that effort on defense that was needed for him to be a great big man. If somehow Jorger can get him to play defense, I can see it. Because he is athletic as all get out. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He can score inside on pretty much anyone. It's just, can he do it on the other side of the ball?
Well,
I think that's a fair thing to say.
But here's the thing. If you're going to say Ayton's not a defender, Bagley's not, Doncic's not, Trae Young's not, Texan's not, like, Knox's not. Knox is okay. But
DeAndre Ayton is a good defender.
He's not.
He just does – He has moments where he is a great defender.
If you don't try, you're not a good defender, because that's what defense is, trying. If you're not trying, you're not good at it.
Okay, but the difference between that is there is nothing from Bagley at all. Nothing. You get moments from DeAndre
Ayton. Defense is all effort. That's
all it is. You get things from DeAndre Ayton. We talked about it earlier. There are moments when
he
looked like the best player on the court.
LeBron's been the best player this whole last year, but he played little to no defense all year. So you cannot play defense, but still be a great player.
Say, there's a difference between not good defense and no defense. We're talking Lakers Swaggy P versus JJ Barea or Isaiah Thomas.
Saying DeAndre Ayton's defense isn't going to be, even when he tries, it's going to be little spurts. It's not going to be enough where you actually
There will be no spurts from Bagley whatsoever unless they can somehow convince him that defense matters. That was his big knock.
He has Randolph under him. I think Randolph can probably get him to play a little defense.
And I hope so, because I liked Bagley. I wanted the Mavs to draft Bagley going into it. Obviously, we got Doncic, who was like my favorite person in the draft, but I thought I was hoping we got Bagley, but
the only really good defender is Mo Bamba. I mean, most of the rest of the guys are just offense. That's what rookies are, though. Defense shouldn't hold them back. I mean, I mean, hell, I mean, Lauri Markkanen, who wasn't in Rookie of the Year voting, but Lauri Markkanen, not really a defender, but he was a great, you know, scorer, and he was a great rookie for them. You know, I don't think defense is going to play that much of a factor in this next year.
That wasn't rookie. He wasn't, but like you said, he wasn't in talk for the Rookie of the Year because he didn't have that.
Hey. So we had one anomaly season where our rookies played great defense. So now every rookie.
Hey, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
I would like to talk about how we were speaking about Trae Young and how, you know, ball handling. Jeremy Lin has just been traded to the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh.
For who?
For what?
As part of a three-team trade. I don't really know anything else.
Trae Young.
Hold up. Does that mean that Schroeder was just moved?
I would imagine the headline would be Schroeder if he was moved, but
the contracts match up Schroeder and Jeremy Lin.
Just tweeted Brooklyn has traded Jeremy Lin to the Hawks.
That's it. No, nothing about what the Hawks gave up.
I'm looking right now.
We're getting wash bombs right now. We're getting wash bombs on the podcast, dude.
Okay, so Denver sends Kenneth Faried, Daryl Arthur, a 2019 projected first-round pick, and a second-round pick for Isaiah Whitehead. So they got salary dumped.
Yeah, that's a big salary dump.
And then Nets and Hawks will also exchange future second-round picks.
Wow.
So did the Hawks really give up anything?
The Hawks gave up a second-round pick for Jeremy Lin? Or did they send anything to the Nuggets?
He's
coming
off a pretty nasty injury. But
I don't see literally anything.
Brooklyn's just trying to clear, I think, cap right now. But I don't know. I guess I don't know why you
want to. The Nuggets are clearing up cap.
Yeah, Nuggets true.
The Nuggets are. But I'm saying getting rid of Jamie. I think they're.
The Nuggets are taking on as much cap from Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur that they're giving up from Jeremy Lin.
No, yeah, but I just don't know what the Nets are doing at this point. Like they're odd.
They got three picks, or they got two picks, and they exchanged with the Hawks.
Hey, now let's go trade for 37, 38-year-old players with all our first-round picks. Let's go ruin this.
Let's call up the Cavs, get Kevin Love and J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, and send them our future.
Right, D'Angelo Russell, we got this. We're gonna win a title now.
All right, so Bailey, now I need you to hear your Rookie of the Year, man. You've been holding out on us. You haven't told us. Riley and I have literally no clue who you're going to say. Let's hear it.
All right. Well, I think just because he's going to be the primary ball handler and because the team is going to be so trash, in my opinion, that he's going to kind of, you know, be the main scorer too. Well, not main scorer, but, you know, main ball handler. So I think he's going to be getting a lot of scoring opportunities. But Colin Sexton. I think just with the Cavs, again, the whole problem with the Cavs this last year, right, was who's going to take the ball out of LeBron's hands, who can really, you know, operate or score on his own or, like, you know, operate offense. George Hill, but they finally get someone in Colin Sexton and they lose LeBron. So he's going to have to not take over like LeBron in terms of being as good as him, but he's going to have to become that primary ball handler that LeBron was this last season. So
he's
just
the worst Doncic.
Yeah, well, Doncic is going to have to be competing with Dennis Smith, you know, Harrison Barnes, Dirk, who's going to get 40 at some point, apparently.
Yeah.
it won't happen. I just think he's going to have the most – because the only guy that really you're going to say he should be ahead of him in scoring is Kevin Love. And that's it. That's the only one. And honestly, you can have two – high volume shooters or scorers, can't tend to have three. Like, you can't have a Miami situation where you have LeBron, Wade, and Bosch because the third guy has to take less, or Clay, Katie, and Steph because the third guy has to take less. But two guys can easily take a lot of shots and that'd be fine. And I think that's kind of going to be what happens with Colin Sexton.
I can see it, even though.
Plus, if they do get to the playoffs like you guys think, that's going to be huge. I mean, everyone thinks they're going to be a lottery team, a top five pick. You know, that's kind of like the joke around when LeBron left. So if he can actually help lead them to another playoff series, even if they lose in the first round, obviously, I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment considering LeBron just left them.
Yeah.
Brandon, what do you think about this?
I mean, personally, I'm not mad at the pick. I think that it's reasonable, unlike Doncic, but... I can see why you think that. I just think personally the Cavs are too talented for him to win this award.
Oh my god.
I'm too telling talented. You, the Cavs are a lot better than you think.
Right. Dude, you're a Warriors fan. You just don't want to make it sound like the titles are as watered down as they are.
It's not. The Cavs are a good team. Saying.
If Colin Sexton is the second option, if Colin Sexton is the second option on that team and they do make the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised. If he's a good second option, is what I mean. If he's a good second option on a Cavs team that makes the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, obviously he'd have to put up some good numbers, both scoring and assists, and he plays a good defense, so I don't think that'd be a problem.
If he plays like 16, if he can get like 16 to 17 a game with six,
I think that's a little bit much.
Are you kidding me?
I think that's a little bit much. Because Dennis Smith last year put up just about 15.
Well, we've seen guys, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be this guy. And 15, I've said 16 to 17, that's a 1 or 2 point difference. It's not much. And Dennis Smith, I mean, he was the main ball handler, but I'm going to make the logical guess here and say he wasn't the main scorer on the team, though.
Well, neither would Colin Sexton.
No, but I don't think was Dennis Smith even the second scoring option on that team?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. I'd never watched a Dallas game.
Sorry, I don't blame you.
yeah, I don't blame you either.
Well, you went to a few games, so, I mean.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know why.
Bailey, you're gonna regret.
I mean, you went to a Celtics game, you freaking nerd.
Bailey, you're gonna regret slandering him when Doncic drops 45 a night as the primary option when he's the man.
All right, wait, Riley. I want to know a quick question before we continue. I just want to know how far does this Dirk 40-point game go? Like, if I made the same bet, but it was 45 points, did you make the same bet?
Probably not, because he hit 40 exactly 2 years ago. Last year, he was hurt most of the year, so the most he had was, I think I saw 23 when I went and looked through. But the year before, he had, I think, 40 or 41 against the Trailblazers. I remember that game.
The difference between you sending me barbecue or me sending you maple syrup and you not making the bet at all is 5 points.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying you'll take the bet at 40 points.
Oh no, I'll take it just at 40. 40 is the highest I'll go on that bet.
I'd be
Dirk's 40.
I'd be stunned if he averaged 40.
Average?
Oh, he won't not average. Average not average. Not average. 40.
Jeez. He won't average 15.
He'll average 40 for one game. Apparently, according to Riley.
Oh,
okay. I just want to see how far you
people
went
were stunned when it happened. Don't worry.
I love Dirk. I do.
I love Dirk so much.
He's one of the best here at times.
All right, boys. Well, is there anything else you guys want to add?
Well, I did have one little comment actually about from earlier. I didn't want to interrupt because you guys were going on, but it was actually having to do with the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron, about the offense and everything. Just about how apparently he's been working on his post game. I kind of wanted to get your take on that. If you think he can make that transition into the post, or if you think he's just going to LeBron and pound the ball and kind of look for Kuzma, Ingram, and whoever else as shooters. Or if you think he's going to actually try to fit it within a system and let a Rondo or Lonzo distribute it and have him do more post-up, more cutting, more, you know, jump shooting, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, it makes sense for his longevity, you know, preserve his body. It would. Make sure he can at least still play whenever his son's in the league, so... That's all I see.
And, you know, looking at the way the NBA is now, you either transition, as you get older, you either transition into a post role or a 3-point role. And the fact that we've seen LeBron get that 3-pointer, and if he is working on that post, if LeBron's game can evolve as he ages, I think we might be seeing him stick around and being just as good for, or at least, you know, really good for longer than we might expect. I think that's fair to say.
I think he does have a little bit longer. I love the idea of him working the post. You saw quite a bit in the playoffs, actually. He fucking tortured Toronto in the post like crazy.
You know, and it makes sense for the Lakers, considering he's probably going to be playing on – he's probably going to be guarding big men on defense.
No, yeah, that's true. I mean, if he can – he could play a small ball five if they had to with him.
Death ball five, like he's big enough, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. No, yeah, he can. It's just more a matter of, I guess, who the other team rolls out. Because if you're going against Utah, you might not be rolling out that small ball five against Rudy Gobert. I like LeBron. I think he's gonna transition to the post good. He's already been working on it. Kobe, MJ, you know, a lot of people say it, but they've transitioned to the post when they got older. MJ and Kobe worked on a little sooner than LeBron have. They kind of developed it more in their late 20s, early 30s. But LeBron has luckily not dealt with injury. So the fact that he hasn't developed it yet is not a big deal because the injuries haven't hit him. Or no injuries have. Hopefully none will. But
yep.
No, I think if he can develop the post game, then I've been hammering for it for about 3 or 4 years that I want him to develop it. Because if he can be effective both on and off ball, it's going to be great for his career and longevity. He'll actually have a real shot if he develops the postgame, though, to the pass Kareem and points all time. I think if he keeps playing the way he will, I think he probably has 2-3 more years left at this level. And I don't think he could catch him Kareem, which I don't think is probably his main goal, but I'm sure that's in the back of his head. He knows he's close, and he knows it's possible. Just him being him. So I think if, you know, that's an attainable goal that he could get, obviously he wants it. I mean, he wants to be the GOAT, being the number one scorer of all time, but still be considered a passer. That's definitely a good notch to have in your belt. But we'll see. I'm excited to see the Lakers next year. Granted, until, like, there's a locker room explosion with Lance Stephenson and Rondo and LeBron and JaVale going all out.
And LeVar Ball.
Oh, dude. I saw someone say it. It was on Twitter. They said it was like this is going to be like a gasoline fire. Like, all they need to do is LeVar to set a match, and it's going to go.
It's going to be like a Latrell Sprewell and, like, Gilbert Arenas. People are going to be pulling guns on each other. People are going to be choking LeVar each other out.
Just like, all right, let's go. Obviously not. He's not going to do that, but...
All right, gents.
Oh, man.
I think we can all agree the Lakers are going to be the most interesting team this year.
They're going to be the most talked about, even when the NFL season is going on.
Yeah,
which is crazy because most of the times when the NFL season starts up, especially in that fall time when you start to really
everything
see
else is star, voided out.
Yeah, the NBA, especially in the beginning, who cares? I mean, outside of, you know, maybe you want to see like Kevin Durant or Boogie or whatever, you know, when they originally went to their teams, but you really, even then, you kind of didn't care that much. LeBron is just it's such
people
a big
start
group.
Caring
it's
at all star break.
Yeah, it's Hollywood, you know, and apparently he's changing his game completely, so. It'll be interesting. I think you can do it, though. That's his mind.
I think that's a good note to end this on.
100%. I mean, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys.
You know, looking forward to what the future holds for this.
Indeed, indeed. Any other comments you'd like to add?
Doncic MVP.
Doncic will win MVP before his career is over.
Trae Young
that's it.
Is better than Doncic. Oh my God.
Podcast over.
Trae Young's better than Doncic.
End it here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Next Man Up podcast. If you have any comments or opinions, feel free to let us know down in the comments below.
Make sure to tune in next week for the latest edition.
And follow us on all social medias at NXT Man Up Podcast.
Thanks so much.